Former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley announced over the weekend that he is running for president, bringing the total number of Democrats in the race to 3. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, prompting us to ask you in today's big question, who do you support for president? Which Democratic candidate do you support for president? Now we have Martin O'Malley. U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont announced his candidacy last month. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton before him. Meanwhile, the groups that had been trying to draft Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren to run for president say they will suspend that effort. So, if the Democratic primary were held today, which of the Democratic candidates would get your vote and why? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, June 3rd. Our guest for today's big question is Dennis Riley, a professor of political science at UW Stevens Point. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So is this it, these three candidates?
Well, I just read that Lincoln Chafee, a former Republican and the current governor in Rhode Island, is going to throw his hat, so to speak, into the ring. He claims he's ready to go, so I don't know what that will bring. I hadn't even heard too many rumors about that, so it'll be interesting. But he says he's coming in.
So what's your general impressions of the Democratic field so far?
Well, you know, it's Hillary Clinton casts an incredible shadow over everything in the Democratic Party at the moment, because now that Barack Obama is done as president, in effect, he has 18 months to go, but I mean, he will not be running. She is the dominant figure in the party. She's got the most money. She's got the most name recognition. She's got the most organization. She's got all of those things, and they're all pluses and minuses simultaneously in some cases. I mean, the size of her shadow and the nature of her shadow has its downside, but nobody, you know, anybody would trade places with her in terms of her position in the field.
We'll go into the strengths and weaknesses of the candidates as we go along, but let's talk a little bit about Martin O'Malley, as he is the latest one to throw his hat into the ring.
Mm-hmm.
He made his announcement last Saturday in Baltimore, where he served as mayor before being elected governor. He said that he would be tougher on Wall Street than Hillary Clinton. Is this going to resonate with primary voters?
It might a little bit. I don't think it's going to resonate a whole lot, because I don't think he has made it clear what it means to be getting tougher with Wall Street. You know, make Elizabeth Warren Secretary of the Treasury, maybe. But other than that, what exactly does he mean? You need an attorney general who knows how to go after them. There's just so many things that I don't think people really quite understand what that means. On another level, though, symbolically, it may resonate, because there is there's money surrounding Hillary Clinton, and some of it is Wall Street money, and some of it is money that's been given to the Clinton Foundation. I mean, there's just a lot of money that surrounds her, and so talking Wall Street without being very specific about precisely what you plan to do may very well resonate with some frustrated primary voters.
Yeah, so why does Martin O'Malley decide to run for president in a field like this, when you have such a dominant candidate such as Hillary Clinton?
Well, that's all. It's always hard to say. There's always a certain amount of personal ambition involved, I suppose. It's harder to see with Bernie Sanders, but O'Malley is a young politician with no place in particular to go. He declined to run for a Senate seat in Maryland, so he's really, you know, he's in his 50s, but that's certainly younger than Hillary or Bernie Sanders by a good bit, or Lincoln Chafee for that matter. So he may have some personal ambitions down the road. Maybe he will mount a campaign again if Hillary were to win the nomination but not the presidency. And even 8 years down the road, he's got a ways, and maybe there's a cabinet post out there for him. You know, there's all these personal kinds of things. But I think the issues resonate with him as they do with so many on the so-called Democratic left. I mean, Hillary Clinton is considered a centrist by most Democrats, not by any Republicans, of course, but by most Democrats. So he may be thinking, you know, okay, I'm out there a bit to the left of her, but I'm not Bernie Sanders. I've never run for public office as a socialist, and then as an independent, and now as a Democrat, kind of. So I'm more identified with the party, and I'm closer to the middle, and so on. So maybe I can bark at her from the left, and maybe that will create something. We never know how much it's, I want some kind of job, and how much it's, I just want these issues to be talked about. And if somebody doesn't run against her, they won't be talked about.
Here's an email from Jeff. I would vote for Martin O'Malley. Bernie Sanders can't win. Who can forget the ineffective race Clinton waged against Obama in 2008? She's not a good campaigner. I would welcome more Democrats. So apparently Jeff is pro-O'Malley, maybe because he's anti-everyone else.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, that certainly would make some sense.
What about that Bernie Sanders can't win? That'll get us into Bernie Sanders now.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, I don't think anybody but Hillary Clinton is likely to win. Can't win is a pretty strong statement. Isn't likely to win is easier for a political scientist to swallow. I think she is so likely to win that it's almost fair to say can't. Because he's, you know, as well known as he is inside academic circles, as well known as he is in the left wing of the party, because he's been there for so long, I don't know how well known he is outside of that. And I don't know if he's got the kind of foreign policy credentials or the rest of it to make people think that he's a viable president. But in his case in particular, we know he wants certain issues on the table in a direct way. I mean, not I'm going to get tough on Wall Street, but I think the minimum wage should be raised to this by this date. I think the cap should be lifted on Social Security taxes so that it taxed on all wage income all the way up through the top so we can increase benefits. I think, you know, I mean, there's an excellent summary of it on Bloomberg Politics this morning from an interview he had with them and an interview he had with MSNBC. It pieces together a wish list for the left wing of the Democratic Party. And he wants those things discussed in a direct and open way inside the Democratic Party because he thinks that, you know, that there's a chance that those positions might prevail in the sense that Hillary Clinton would move toward those positions.
Yeah, doesn't Hillary Clinton already believe in increasing the minimum wage and lifting the cap on Social Security?
I'm not so sure about lifting the cap on Social Security. I think she's been pretty quiet on that. Sure, she wants a higher minimum wage. Mm-hmm. You'd be hard-pressed to find a Democrat that doesn't want a higher minimum wage. But the question is, how high, how quickly do we go there? And she's been a little less forthcoming on that than Bernie Sanders has. But she's tends to be, partly because she's the dominant candidate and partly because she is a little more to the center than the Bernie Sanders people or the Elizabeth Warren people, she is a little less prone to say it in a blunt sort of way. And you know, you listen to Bernie Sanders and you feel, you know, I mean, this is a guy with a thick Brooklyn accent who tells it like it is, and he's not afraid to say, you know, I mean, that's the image he's creating and projecting. And I think that there's probably some truth to it. He really is pretty, now I wouldn't say gruff, but he's certainly blunt. And he's got the Brooklyn accent and the rest of it to go with it. So I think he is going to force her to be a little more open and a little more direct. And if he doesn't, then the media covering the campaign are going to try to force her to be a little more direct.
Sanders is, as you mentioned, registered as an independent, though he calls himself a Democratic with a small d socialist. We just have a little more than a minute before a news break. Do you think the country is ready to elect someone who calls himself a socialist for president?
Oh, I think they might be. That is to say, I don't think that label in the Democratic Party, the way he explains it, I don't think that label is going to affect him very much. And we're getting to be such a labeled mm-hmm. electorate when we get to the polls that most Democrats, even if they're not exactly excited about the notion of democratic socialist. Most Democrats will be willing to vote for the Democratic candidate, particularly given the Republican field.
We will pick up on our big question discussion on the Democratic candidates for president, and we will welcome your votes in our big question. If the election were held today, which Democratic candidate would you vote for president, and why? 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Dennis Riley, a professor of political science at UW Stevens Point. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Big Question on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Which of the Democratic candidates do you most support for president and why? That's today's big question. Is it former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, who announced over the weekend? Is it Bernie Sanders, U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont, who announced last month? Or is it former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton? Or is it someone else? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have done more than a few programs now on the Republican field of presidential candidates, so we thought it was time to focus in on the Democrats during today's big question. Who do you want to see win the Democratic nomination and why? Which issue is most important to you? Are you glad that there is going to be a primary, or were you hoping the Democrats would be all in for Hillary Clinton or not? Well, apparently or not, because most of our Facebook comments and callers are going to be voting for Bernie Sanders. Well, in fact, let's take a couple of calls. Cora in Pewaukee. Hi, Cora.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, vote for Sanders.
Yeah, I'm sorry that your phone just connection isn't good enough, Cora. We can't really hear you. Cora says that Bernie Sanders is going to be who she votes for. She doesn't think Hillary Clinton is strong enough to go past center, and she wants someone more progressive. Thank you, Cora, and I'm sorry we didn't have a good phone connection. John in Kenosha. Hi, John.
Hi, and good morning. I just want to say that, in my eyes, Bernie Sanders is the only candidate for the Democratic nomination, and I'm going to tell you why. He is ahead of the polls regardless of what the polls are saying. And I'm going to put a little hypothetical out there for you. 60% of voters, or potential voters, did not vote this last cycle. Granted, it was not a presidential cycle, but they did not vote. Large portion of that is because they don't feel like they have anybody running for office that supports their views. And Bernie Sanders is a moral and ethical titan. He's been pushing the same ideas, the same thoughts. He is unwavering, and he's been doing it for 30 years.
Thank you very much, John. Well, one more, and then we'll get our guest, Dennis Riley, a professor of political science at UW Stevens Point, to react and to discuss the issues you are bringing up. Jean in Eau Claire, go ahead.
Hi. I definitely am voting and supporting Bernie Sanders. He has a proven history of working for the 99%. We need more people, environment, focused representatives in our capital, and he's the man to do it. And we need more socialistic type leaders that care about the people to counteract all the corporatism that has taken over our country.
Thank you very much, Jean. All right, Professor Riley, you want to start with Jean thinking that Bernie Sanders has a proven track record of supporting the people, the 99%.
Well, I think you can certainly say that Bernie Sanders has a long track record of being as liberal as anybody gets and gets elected in American politics. And he, you know, he does clearly and directly support a variety of things that many Democrats think is the key to restoring the middle class, is the key to restoring economic fairness, economic security, and, you know, with Social Security, with his opposition to the Trans-Pacific Partnership, with the things that he's been for, and been for, not just against, but for, and a number of things he's been against through his entire career as a socialist mayor of Burlington, as an independent House member, as an independent senator. He's been on these issues and on the same side of these issues. She's right about that. How many people really know that is an interesting question. I mean, everybody that knows Bernie Sanders knows those things. But how many people really know Bernie Sanders?
How about our caller who says, no matter what the polls say, most people do support Bernie Sanders. They're the ones who weren't voting last time around.
Well, the ones who weren't voting last time around, that could be a very intriguing cast of characters, because people don't vote for such a wide variety of reasons. Some of them didn't vote because they don't think there's a candidate far enough left for them. Okay, there is that segment of the population. But Barry Goldwater was convinced that he'd become the next president of the United States because there were all those people out there who weren't voting because there wasn't anybody conservative enough. And it didn't work out quite that well for Barry. There have been a number of times in our history where people really believed there was this huge block of voters that are turned off by the choices. They don't have one far enough to their extreme, and as soon as they get one, they'll all come out and vote. And it has never actually happened. So I don't know. I'm a little skeptical of saying that the polls don't show it yet, but he's really ahead. Mm-hmm. The polls only show what they can poll, and it's that he's not ahead. So.
And then we had Cora, who supported Sanders based on his stances on issues, but she also didn't think that Hillary Clinton could be pulled left enough from center. Your thoughts on that?
Well, that's, I think Cora represents a substantial part of the left of the Democratic Party, the more liberal vision in the Democratic Party, because I think there are an awful lot of people out there that are skeptical that she will make the moves that Bernie Sanders has come into the race to convince her to make, you know, to come closer to the kinds of clear-cut positions on all these things that he has taken over the years. And she, you know, the gravitational pull on Hillary Clinton is really hard to sort out. There is a Wall Street gravitational pull. She represented Wall Street very effectively as a New York senator. There's the interaction she has with other wealthy Americans through the Clinton Foundation. And she was the Secretary of State and moves in different circles than Bernie Sanders ever moved. So there is this gravitational pull toward the center, toward the more moneyed part of the Democratic Party, not of the entire nation, but of the Democratic Party. And so Cora's expressing a vision that I think an awful lot of Americans hold about Hillary Clinton, and it's one of their suspicions about her.
Sheree in Waupun is with us now. Hi, Sheree.
Hi, good morning. I mean, thank you for taking my call. You know, I have to say I'm not really decided on who I'm going to vote for. I was excited about Hillary, and I'm not against Hillary, but I do have issues with the corporatocracy, and I wonder whether or not she would be effective because of the fact that Republicans seem to hate her so much. I can't imagine they would cooperate with anything that she would bring up if she were president. I like Bernie Sanders, and I like a lot of the ideas that he stands for, but I don't believe that people are aware that he has an A rating with the NRA. And that's because I try not to be a single issue voter, but the gun control issue is an issue for me. And I don't think people are aware of his NRA A rating. And I also, Martin O'Malley for me is not even in consideration. I don't like what he did in Baltimore, so he's not in consideration. So if I had to vote today, I honestly can't say who I would vote for.
There we go, a Democrat who doesn't like anybody so much right now, Professor Riley.
Yeah, but it's a very interesting analysis because there are, again, many people in precisely her position uncertain about all of them. I don't know how many Democrats will be unhappy about Bernie and the NRA, but probably a number. I mean, it might not be enough to tip the balance given all of his positions on economic things. But he represents Vermont. He represents a state where, like Wisconsin, hunting is an important part of the culture. I mean, he's not representing the NRA on you know, controlling small handguns and so on. But they still think he's perfectly okay, and that is a negative for a good many people. And I'm glad Sheree mentioned O'Malley in Baltimore, because there will be some concern in the African-American community because some of his Baltimore policing decisions as its mayor several years ago probably had some at least limited impact on setting in motion the kinds of things that we've seen in Baltimore of late. Now, so did, you know, 20 years after the riots following the King assassination, there was plenty of police crackdowns. Martin O'Malley can't be held responsible for all of it, but he can be held responsible for a small amount of it. Mm-hmm. And the Democratic Party simply cannot stir up too much of a hornet's nest in the African-American community. If they don't vote, there are a lot of states that would be very difficult for the Democrats to carry.
And what about that Sheree was concerned that Hillary Clinton was hated so much by Republicans that it might be hard for her to win at all?
Well, it might not be harder for her to win. I mean, she was, yeah, she is who she is. The Republicans are not likely to vote for her. But I think part of Sheree's point is a very, very good one. That is, if she does win, and if the Republicans continue to control the House, which is almost a dead certainty, wow, it's just going to be a replay of what's happened to President Obama. There'll be just a wall of no, and the kinds of things that she would be elected to do on the economic front would be essentially dead on arrival. And so, you know, there is a real question there, but at the heart of it is the question, will it be worse because she's Hillary Clinton? Yes. Would it be that much better if it was Bernie Sanders advancing those? I'm not so sure. The ideas themselves, she's anathema to them as an individual, but the ideas are anathema to them as well. So it might be a little bit worse. I'd have to learn how to spell Benghazi again, which I'm really not interested in doing.
Robin on Facebook says, I'm afraid that Bernie is too blunt for swing voters. I do admire him greatly. I don't want to send them running into the arms of the GOP candidate. I am backing Hillary.
You know, that's what we're getting from the callers, as you might expect, is a real cross-section of Democratic thinking. I mean, there's probably more people coming out for Bernie Sanders than one might have expected, but the people are talking about the things that they need to talk about and feel they want to talk about and that will influence a lot of voters. There is the fear that maybe Bernie Sanders would, in fact, scare some middle-of-the-road voters, if there are middle-of-the-road voters anymore. I guess there are. We have to assume there are, or otherwise we could have the election now. So we have to assume some people are persuadable. And if that's true, we've heard some people say that Bernie would have a better chance of persuading because of his message. And now here's the question, well, would that message be too far out for a very important voting bloc? And no one knows the answer.
David on Facebook says that he supports Bernie Sanders, but most likely, he says, I will vote in the GOP primary since I doubt the Democratic primary will be competitive in April. So that brings up a couple of issues. Your thoughts on whether or not by the time April rolls around, the Democratic side will be competitive?
Oh, boy. Yeah. I think that's a pretty good sized elephant. Oh, not a good choice. Maybe it's a good sized donkey. Anyway, yeah, that's a tough one because certainly something interesting could happen in Iowa, I suppose. But then you go to New Hampshire, and how will the press read New Hampshire if Bernie Sanders doesn't win but gets very close to Hillary? On the other hand, New Hampshire's been good to the Clintons. And you know, it it could be over by April. It wouldn't be that surprising. If it's over by April, it will be over for Hillary, not against her, because she's not going to give up early.
Yeah, will the GOP, I don't know, the GOP field, do you sense Democrats voting in the GOP primary?
Well, everybody always talks about that happening in Wisconsin, that Democrats love to go into the Republican primaries, and Republicans into the Democratic primaries to try to nominate the weaker candidates. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure how much of it really happens. Probably some. But I don't think it would be enough to make a big difference. The question in the Republican primary in Wisconsin will be whether Scott Walker is still a viable candidate at that point. It's hard to imagine the state Republicans turning against him in substantial numbers if he's still alive and well.
Yeah. What do you make of, and I promise that we weren't going to go into too much of the polling and the horse race stuff, but we've had a couple of polls, at least right now, in Wisconsin showing that if it were a matchup in the general election between Scott Walker and Hillary Clinton, that Scott Walker was trailing.
Yeah, I've seen that, and I'm not all that surprised by it. Scott Walker has not run statewide in Wisconsin in a presidential election year, and he's not run for president. It's one thing to run in an off year for governor. It's another thing to run in a presidential year for president. And I knew Tom Barrett, and I knew some people who worked for him, and I thought he was a decent human being, but not the most powerful candidate for governor in the world. And the same thing happened to Mary Burke, in a sense. He wasn't hitting against the best pitching that the Democrats had to offer, and Hillary Clinton likely would be. There would be certainly a turnout machine that was not able to be geared up. And with Russ Feingold on the ballot and a whole lot of Democrats feeling that they let Russ down last time around and he let them down, but that's the way it goes, we're going to get out. You know. So I think that there will be a big Democratic vote, which could put the governor in some trouble. And his own personal ratings are down from where they were when he was elected and reelected.
Yeah. Do you think that the Republican field might influence how Democrats vote?
That's an interesting question. We always, as political scientists, speculate that it would, but I'm not sure it really does, especially not in for the Democrats this year in a very uncrowded field that appears, you know, to have a giant and some people trying to make the giant walk differently and say different things. I mean, I don't know that there'd be any strategic kind of voting that you would do based on who the Republicans had put ahead at that point. I'm not sure the Republican nomination process will be over by April.
Charles on Facebook says, I also respect Sanders, but I wonder if Joe Biden will ante up. He is experienced and much, much smarter than typical VP jokes would suggest. Trouble is, after 7 years as VP, he might be too smart and too experienced to want the presidency. Anyone else think Biden is letting Clinton draw fire for a while before he makes his move? We have just a minute before news break.
In many ways, I kind of doubt it, given age, given the most recent family tragedy.
So sad.
All the things that he has to contend with as a human being, he may just feel that it's not worth it. And he has put his hat in the ring for president a couple of times, and it didn't go very well at all. As good as he might be, and as personable and engaging and all those other things as he might be, he's not been a successful presidential candidate.
Dennis Riley is our guest. He's a professor of political science at UW Stevens Point. We are talking with him about the field of Democratic candidates for president. And we are asking you in today's big question, which of the Democratic candidates do you support for president and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We also have an online poll, which you can find at wpr.org/joy. This is The Big Question on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If the primary election were held today, which of the Democratic candidates would get your vote and why? Would it be former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley? Would it be U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders? Would it be former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton? Or would it be someone else? Or are you not sure? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Dennis Riley, a professor of political science at UW Stevens Point. And our next caller is Barb in Sister Bay. Hi, Barb.
Hi, thanks for letting me answer. I think the elephant in the room is women's health and reproductive rights, and there is nobody that will fight for that like Hillary Clinton will. My vote is for her, and as we see, we even have a Democratic president now who is hamstrung on the issue, and she will put the best foot forward and change our 1950s climate back to the year 2015 and help half the population. Thank you.
Thank you, Barb. Boy, and at the same time, Professor Riley, we just heard in state news an initiative that is supported by a presumed presidential candidate, Governor Scott Walker, the 20-week abortion ban in Wisconsin. Is that going to be a big issue in the race, women's reproductive rights?
Oh, I think without any question it will. I think particularly, well, thinking about Governor Walker, because, of course, he's our governor, and we think about him. That's one of the things that would make a national run for him kind of difficult. California, New York, a few other places like that, and even here in Wisconsin. I'm not sure that that's the majority position of Wisconsinites, that 20-week bill. And so that, plus his long record on women's reproductive rights issues related to that, that's always going to be out there. And it would certainly be a stark contrast between what he has said and done on the issue over his entire career and what Wisconsin is doing at the moment under his ostensible leadership anyway. Hillary Clinton can just run against that in a very open sort of way, I think. I mean, she doesn't have to take the most extreme position. She just has to say, well, we can't have that. We need to go in this direction. And then, you know, she'll have a pretty good shot, I think, at winning an awful lot of votes. I don't know that issue turns all women's votes. That would be pretty silly, given what the president or what Mary Lasich in the state Senate said. She's, you know, strongly for this bill, so it's not that it's monolithic. But among women that have identified with the Democratic Party for a while, it tends to be a pretty important issue and an issue on which they are certain which direction they want to go in, or even more certain which direction they don't want to go in. And so it will motivate a good many women in the Democratic Party. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton recently went after Governor Walker, Marco Rubio, Rand Paul for their comments about equal pay. She didn't mention them by name, but she referred to things they said, notably accusing Walker in 2012 of calling equal pay a bogus issue. What about equal pay or other women's issues besides reproductive rights? That how big is that going to be for if it were Hillary Clinton versus a Republican guy?
Oh, I think equal pay would be particularly big. I mean, because that affects women on either side of the question of reproductive rights. It affects women of ages in which they don't really need to worry very much about those sorts of questions. And the numbers just keep coming out indicating that women are paid unfairly, and you can't even get the Republican House to vote to take the simplest step that the president proposed, which is force companies to let people know how much other people are making. So, there's just a whole lot of reason why equal pay would be a good issue in that sense for Hillary Clinton, because she can come out even more strongly than on reproductive rights. She'll have to come out on that, but that, you know, there's just a, you don't get into the whole question of abortion and birth control by saying people ought to get paid for what they do, not because of their gender.
Yeah. Well,
that's easy.
We asked you earlier if America was ready for a socialist president with Bernie Sanders. Is America ready for a female president?
Yeah. I mean, I think without question it is. I think amongst younger voters in particular, they no longer have any concern about the gender of an individual running for a public office. It just isn't important to most of them at all. And so America is as ready for her as they're going to get. And I suspect, and I think she suspects too, that if Barack Obama hadn't come from what most people thought was nowhere to take the nomination away from her, she would be coming to the end of her two terms as the first woman president. I think she thought she would win that 2008 election, and under those conditions, she probably would have.
Yeah. What about, and she very well might have, but what about another Clinton president?
That's a trickier issue. Our vision of the Clinton presidency from 92 to 2000 is really a bifurcated image. There's the image of the personal difficulties that the president had, of the inability to restrain himself, whatever you want to call it. There was a personal side. There was the scandal side. Some of the scandals, like Travelgate, didn't amount to very much. Some of the scandals amounted to quite a bit. So you have all of that. And you have pretty rock-solid economic times. In the last time, middle-class incomes actually grew in real dollar terms. So, okay, it's two different presidencies. Which one will people reflect back on, or will they not reflect back on it at all? Is it long enough ago? It'll be 16 years. Is she now on her own? Well, no, but. I really think it's going to cut both ways. I think the Clinton presidency thing is going to cut both ways. I think I'd rather be Hillary running with the Clinton shadow than Jeb running with the Bush shadow.
Three more GOP candidates recently entered the race: Rick Santorum, George Pataki, and Lindsey Graham. And of course, we expect Governor Walker will officially get in after the state budget. Very briefly, who do you think the Democrats may face next year?
Wow. That's really actually very, very hard to handicap, I think. Mm-hmm. I suppose, in some sense, the default still keeps coming back to Jeb Bush, mm-hmm. because of the amount of money he has, because of how well-known he is, because there is that impression that he's actually more moderate than his brother was, or than, say, Scott Walker is, and so he might be a better general election candidate, and he's better connected. There's all of that, so he may be the default position, but he's not going to be able to get off to much of a start. He will not start well in Iowa. It's hard to say how things will go in New Hampshire, and now what happens in South Carolina. I mean, I don't know if South Carolina takes its own senators seriously as a presidential candidate, but some South Carolinians might, And it's so crowded, and I just don't know if Jeb can parlay all of what seem to be advantages from the point of view of a traditional political science analysis of the Republican field. He should be able to take advantage of all of that, but can he take advantage of all of that? And I'm not sure. I think it's really very much up for grabs after that, too.
Well, we will leave it there for now, and I'm sure we'll talk again as this campaign continues. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Dennis Riley, professor of political science at UW Stevens Point. Now it's time for you to sound off on today's big question. So who do you want to see win the Democratic nomination for president? Which of the candidates would you vote for, and why? Martin O'Malley, Bernie Sanders, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, or someone else? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We give you 30 seconds to state your support for the candidate of your choice and why. And let's go first to Joanne in Jacksonport. Hello, Joanne.
Hello. concerning who I'm going to vote for, it's still up for grabs, but Bernie Sanders on Rachel Maddow last night had the most interesting proposal. He's going to propose that the nominees for each party debate before the election. He said that way you find out what they're really thinking.
I think you mean, so yeah, there would be debates. You mean the Dems versus the Republicans rather than,
yes,
Dems versus Dems. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Sounds interesting. Thanks, Joanne. Daryl in Green Bay. Hi, Daryl.
Hi. I'm trending towards Bernie Sanders. Although I don't think it's going to be enough to unseat Hillary Clinton, but hopefully it'll be enough to push her a little bit more to the left. And I think more importantly, we should be focusing more on the party and what the party platforms are. You hear a lot of the Republican candidates talking about the working, the middle class. But when you take a look at their voting history and their records and their platform, they really support, you know, the upper 1%. So don't be taken in by the Republican lies.
Thank you very much, Gerald. Dave in Elroy is next. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I'm going to vote for Martin Rodham Sanders because I'm conflicted and confused.
That's a good one, Dave. Let's go to Jerry in Lake Mills. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning. Bernie Sanders, hands down, he's a statesman, not just another oily politician. The Clintons are married to the corporatists, and Hillary will continue to be their mistress. She's a war hawk. She voted for the wars, and they are certainly not representative of anyone other than the one percenters.
Thank you very much, Jerry. One last sound-off call, David in Middleton. Hi, David.
Yeah, hi there. I just wanted to make the point that, you know, I'm going to vote for the candidate, the Democratic candidate most likely to win, and that's likely to be Hillary. And the reason being is the next president is going to be nominating Supreme Court justices, and we can't lose the Supreme Court to, you know, the right-wing faction. So that's my thought.
Thank you very much. You can continue voting in our big question online. It's located at WPR.org/joy. Very few online votes so far, but we have Hillary Clinton leading slightly Bernie Sanders in our online poll. Thanks very much to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, and to Caleb Lato for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.